Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Roethlisberger in an empty backfield, standing at the 40, takes the snap. He's back. He is going over the top to a wide-open Claypool, who's in for the touchdown.
That guy again?
Again.
Wide open.
Wide open. I mean, wide open. How can they not cover him?
How can they not cover him? We're back, Marks and Reese. That was the fourth touchdown on the day for rookie Chase Claypool.
Damn it, man.
Who went into the day, he said after the game he was expecting a smaller role yesterday. I guess that was till the game started.
Yeah, which is why I didn't put him in my lineup in three of my leagues yesterday.
Oh, Ike! Man, that burns.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have either. Like, who expected that?
I mean, I've been waiting on a breakout game. I just didn't know it was coming this week.
All right, so here's...
You thought it would have been Ebron.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, God. So really? It's 3rd and 8. It comes after their what was called on the field an interception, but it clearly was trapped on the ground. Yeah. So it's overturned, and it becomes 3rd and 8.
Yeah, so let me break this down for you. And why that's critical, what you're bringing up there is, it's the same exact personnel. So go back to that play John just brought up where it was clearly it wasn't an interception, but for somehow these blind officials yesterday didn't see that ball was clearly on the ground. But the key part to this is that they had the identical personnel and formation on 2nd and 8 that they had on 3rd and 8 that led to the touchdown from Pittsburgh's standpoint. So they come back with seemingly wanting to run the same exact play to pick up the first down. They already know they're in field goal range. They want to pick up the first down here if they can, kick a field goal, possibly not give the Eagles the ball back, win the game that way. That's why they weren't running. So here we go to the 3rd and 8 play. The 2nd and 8 play, the key is the Eagles were in man defense. The Eagles were in man defense on that 2nd and 8 play. They switched it up on 3rd and 8. They switched to zone coverage, whether it was a cover 2 or a cover 4 quarters coverage. They got a 2-high safety. That's what Big Ben recognized first and foremost. Big Ben sees this and then immediately checks the play and starts telling the receivers which routes to run, because he knows now the Eagles are in a zone defense, and he's going to try to attack either Jalen Mills with the number 14 guy, Ray McCloud, the speed guy who ran a 7 route. He's the number 2 guy on the left side. Chase Claypool is the number 3 guy on the left side. And Big Ben knows that safety is in a quandary. He's going to either help with Jalen Mills or he's going to help with
Nate Gary.
Because of the route, meaning Rodney McLeod is really cheating to help Jalen Mills on this 7 route because he knows the speed guy is there. So they run the route with number 2 and number 3 in a stem package way where Ray McLeod immediately goes to the 7 route, but Claypool gives you the look as if he's going to either hook up right in front of Nate Gary or go across. The moment Rodney McLeod sees that, he immediately shades towards the number 2 wide receiver.
So the stutter step that he gave
really froze Rodney McLeod, and then really it was a terrible stutter and go, but that's what it was. A stutter and go being ran on the middle linebacker, Big Ben realizes this, the veteran that he is. Easy pitch and catch. Rodney McLeod nowhere in the picture to help Nate Gary out on that play. So you had a couple things there. A, you gave Big Ben somewhat of a look at this
previous down.
Right. But you switched your coverage to zone, and he recognized it in the pre-snap recognition, changed the route at the line of scrimmage, and got exactly what he wanted, which is his number three on the middle linebacker. Because on second down, he went to the tight end. On the out, it was the number two guy on the right side ran like a quick slant out, and Eric Ebron ran a slant in. And that's where Big Ben went with the football. This time he went to the other side because he knew they were in zone defense. This time around, they were in man the first time, and they were running sort of a pick route. Very similar to the route we picked up the first down on against the 49ers, the 4th-and-4 route to John Hightower. It was similar to that, where Ebron ran the slant coming in. He just happened to drop the ball there.
So I guess the question is, what could they have done differently? Right? Like, I mean, can you call a timeout there?
That's probably the only thing you could have done differently there is call a timeout. When you're in zone defense and you realize you got an empty backfield set and somehow Nate Gary may be locked up on number three, you either call a timeout or Rodney McLeod has to almost tell Jalen Mills, I'm helping on number 11. Mm-hmm. You're by yourself. The problem with that is number one runs a hitch, so that pulls that corner up, and now Jalen Mills would have basically a third of the field to cover by himself. And that's a lot of space to cover versus Ray McLeod, who's their speed guy. And we know Jalen Mills is not a speed guy. Either way, Big Ben knew he had speed.
He's got something.
Speed versus our slowest corner in Jalen Mills or our middle linebacker. Either way.
He got what he wanted.
So here's what I tell you Jim Schwartz is going to have to learn to do now when he gets that look. There was no running back in the game. With no running back in the game, you don't need a linebacker.
Should have had your dime in there.
Have an extra safety out there or something. Because the worst that can happen to you then is Big Ben runs a quarterback sneak. That's the worst that can happen to you. That's the only reason you got the linebacker in there for, is to protect against some type of quarterback sneak. There is no running back in the game.
Or a draw play or something like that if there's a running back in.
There's four wide receivers and a tight end in the game. There is no running back in the game. That was out-schemed. That's what that was.
So Doug said it was great execution by the Steelers.
It
I
was.
Don't know what else to tell you.
There is no other answer for it that's going to suffice. It really was. Knowing the Eagles' tendencies from a personnel standpoint and what they like to run down in that area of the field, the Steelers knew. They knew what they were going to get. They got one of the coverages on second down. So now it was like, okay, let's see what they do on third down.
And the minute they changed the defense, it was like, oh, now
they,
we got them.
They're going to zone. We got them.
Wow.
Because, I mean, really, they had them on second down. Ebron just dropped the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, they got what they wanted on that 2nd-and-8.
Oh.
It's not Nate's fault. It's to me, it's your personnel you got out there, and that's one of those situations where the offense – was one step ahead of you.
So the only thing that could have been changed was that Schwartz runs a safety in there and Nate Gary comes off the field.
Man, yeah, you take Nate out. Bring an extra cover guy. Mm. Bring an extra cover guy. Mm. I mean, that's all you really can do. Or don't play zone on that defense. But he's scared to play man because they don't match up well man-to-man. Well, here's the other thing we got to remember. Darius Slay is not in the game.
Right. Oh, yeah, at that point you're right.
Yes, Slay is not in the game.
Are they also worried about playing man because Ben can sneak too? Like on
a
third down?
Yeah. That's like, I mean, defense is a reactionary because you don't necessarily get to dictate what's going to happen. You're really reacting to what the offense presents you and hope that you got the right call there. That's a situation where Pittsburgh's skill position guys are just better than our back seven.
Clearly.
Especially without Slay out there.
Clearly. All right, we'll come back. We know people have been holding.
Greg James scared the hell out of me. He got in there one play, and
burned right by him.
Big Ben went right at him.
He did. One play, it's a get in the hell out of there. Meanwhile, Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones are having Pro Bowl corner days.
Oh, man.
We'll talk about that before we get out of here. But your feelings after yesterday's loss, are you encouraged more of Victory Monday, or are you frustrated they should have won?
We're not doing a bunch of Moral Victory Mondays.
Moral Victory! Marks and Reese, your phone calls. We'll get into them coming up next. Today's show is brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Chickies and Pete's for your game day experience. They're open. Indoor and outdoor seating is available at all locations. ChickiesandPete's.com. Back after this. Oh, I got Got to talk to you about DraftKings. I was just looking at DraftKings earlier today. In the commercial that I read, it talks about odds boosts, and it's like, all right, well, like, what are these odds boosts you're talking about? And I was looking at them for tonight's Monday Night Football game, and you know, and they're pretty cool, right? So they'll have a regular prop bet, and they'll say, you know what, instead of being +250, now it's +300. So if you bet 100 before, it would have been +250, now it's +300. So check it out for tonight's game. But you know, Week 5 ends tonight of football. Week 6 is going to be amazing, and there's no better place to get in on all the action than DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook is America's top-rated sportsbook app, and they're bringing back their can't-miss offer. All new users, the chance to receive a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. And on top of that great sign-up offer, DraftKings offers these odds boosts every Sunday. For Mondays, they do it as well. You got to check it out. So download the app now. Go to the App Store and download it now. You don't want to miss it. And DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure. It's not like the old days where you worry about how long it's going to take for you to get your money or you deposit your money. You do it immediately at your convenience. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code Philly when you sign up, and you'll get up to $1,000. Code Philly, and you'll get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 for a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details.
Wentz again in the gun. Second and 10. Ball at the Pittsburgh 49. Wentz back. He steps up. The rush is coming. Wentz is still pumping. He is going deep for the end zone, and it is incomplete. Intended for Hightower with 14 seconds left.
Oh, and Hightower had a chance at this one. You know, Carson buying time. He thought he had Zach Ertz early in the route, buys a little more time, but then he sees Hightower going across the field, and this is one that probably should have been caught for a touchdown.
Yeah, missed opportunities yesterday. We're back. It is Marks and Reese. Today's broadcast brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Home gating is here. You can order Chickies and Pete's to go for your game watch parties. Chickies and Pete's, official caterer and proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'll be honest.
Yep.
I haven't seen a rookie wide receiver make any type of catch, anything close to that, since DeSean Jackson. Like, DeSean Jackson's rookie year almost caught 4,000 yards.
He caught everything thrown, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you noticed that early in his career about being able to track a deep ball.
Yeah, Hightower doesn't have that same kind of.
Man.
There was one deep ball where Carson overthrew him. But
about like an inch or two, a yard.
But like it seemed like I'll bet you Hightower's not as fast on the field as he is if he's running a 40, right? Because DeSean and Rager are faster in a game. They have that game speed. Mm-hmm. And he didn't seem like he was running very fast at all. So, you know, that might have been another missed opportunity.
And lay out too, man. I need dudes to start laying out. Lay out.
Yeah.
If that was a fly ball, somebody would have said lay out.
Of course. No, I agree with you. I just don't think that.
Fly ball, somebody would have said lay out for that.
It's pretty clear to me that he struggles with tracking the ball.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Well, how
meanwhile, Travis is tracking balls through the lights.
He's unbelievable.
On Sunday night.
That's only because the Eagles didn't draft him. See, Howie just went into the draft saying we need fast guys. Didn't check to see if they can catch or not.
Yeah, he's drafting track guys. And by the way, I'm getting DMs saying, like, make sure you give Howie credit for Fulgham. I'm not giving Howie a damn piece of credit for Fulgham. He was signed
on Joe Gilio.
He doesn't get any credit. You got to give him some credit.
No. He got lucky. It's like, give him credit for Greg Ward, a guy that was on the practice squad and was released, where at any point anybody else could have had him. Anybody in the league could have had him. He went on the practice squad. It was a numbers game. That's why he's here. If everybody didn't get hurt, they wouldn't have to bring him up. No, he does not get credit for this. I judge him on the guys he drafted and signed as free agents, not guys you lucked into. But I'll take it. By the way, I'll take it.
Yeah. I don't expect Howie to roll out Travis Fogum and Greg Ward when he's defending his personnel decisions like Andy McPhail and Matt Klintak would roll out.
No, he wouldn't go that low. Now, if he's handing in a resume of GMs, he probably can't use that.
Yeah, he's not going. Well, I'm saying he wouldn't stand up in front of the media and defend his personnel decisions by saying, well, found Travis Fogum.
Right.
Right? Like, he's not going to do that.
Like, if he would have drafted DK Metcalf, he could use that as being like, hey, guys, we're saying that you shouldn't draft him. Look at him.
Yeah, meanwhile, how do you defend J.J. Ortega? Big catch from J.J. yesterday.
He was money.
Never doubted him.
No doubt about it. All right, moral victory Monday, Ike.
Did he have the second longest catch yesterday?
He did. Yeah, he said.
No, he had the longest catch yesterday, 37 yards.
He has two receptions for 25 yards plus. And over the last 2 years, that's tied for the most, right?
Hey, man, not giving up on him yet.
Meanwhile, Fulgham has more yards and catches in two games than JJ's had in 2 years.
Well, no, and by the way, like, Zach Ertz has 15 yards in two games, right?
That was bad.
That's bad. And Zach Ertz was very upset that the Eagles weren't giving him a George Kittle contract. All right, dude, maybe you can see why now.
You mean in one catch, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside has more yards than Zach has in two games?
Yep.
Okay.
Double the yards. All right, let's go to the phones. We have who's happy for Victory Monday? Let's go Moral Victory Monday. Let's go to Divine in El Paso, Texas. Divine is listening on the radio.com app. And did you know on the radio.com app, you can use the rewind feature where you can go back and you can listen to any part of
I've
WIP.
Used it, yes.
I used it too.
Yeah.
What's up, Divine?
Yes, guys. Yeah, I always listen to the radio.com app. My wife actually gets tired of him walking around the house with it like blasting. So she gets tired of it, bro. Good afternoon, guys. Long time listener, first time caller.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thank you. But yeah, I just wanted to get into a couple points. For one, I want to hang a couple things on Doug's head right now. Why is our team so undisciplined? Like even to Doug calling that timeout, I think with like 6 minutes left in the second quarter, I think we was at like a first and goal, and we used the timeout in that situation. So a lot of people talk about how Hightower didn't get out of bounds, which is another undisciplined thing by the Eagles, but to use that timeout in that situation, did you guys see anything that, you know, warranted that timeout at first and goal?
No. Exactly. and I said the same thing. Like, why are we calling timeout here?
Exactly.
I don't know if they didn't get the play in or what. I don't know what happened. But, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Exactly. And it's like I watched Doug. He's done that plenty of times. And, you know, I guess, you know, 2017, things like that, it didn't come back to bite him. But I'm noticing him doing that more often, and it's starting to come back and bite him. I think if we had a timeout at the end of the second quarter, I think we put points up. Like, yeah, you know, Hightower had the ball at the back of the end zone that, you know, we all mm-hmm. think he should have came down with. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he get his second foot inbounds. Maybe he do, maybe
true.
He don't.
True, yep.
But, you know, I'm just seeing a lot of undisciplined things with our team. Can y'all tell me the one game where we actually had a better, you know, turnover ratio than the other team?
Last week.
I want to say last week, right?
Yeah, last week. That
it's
was
only
it.
One.
San Fran, God, Sam. This is the one game that we won, right?
That's it.
You know, yeah. Like, I just don't get it. Like, you're not going to win games turning the ball over more than the other team. And you know, and that's just something that I've been seeing out of the Eagles, you know, that this wasn't the 2017 team. The turnovers, the fact that they – like Hightower catches the ball and doesn't go out of bounds. Like just these little things when it comes to discipline. I'm looking at Doug and I'm saying, is it you? Is it Jim Schwartz? Like what's going on with our team and discipline right now?
It's both of them, Divine. It's both of them because Doug is the head coach. So he's responsible for his team, for his entire team. He's responsible for his entire team. But that's Jim Schwartz. And his coaching, right? Like Jim Schwartz, you know, he may not be as outspoken and outlandish at times like Greg Williams. They work together. They're from that same tree. Mm-hmm. They're cut from the same cloth, except that Greg Williams likes the blitz more than Jim Schwartz does. But that undisciplined style of play where it's extra aggression and tough man going to win and all this and that and the other. Like,
Malik Jackson had a bad penalty.
Yeah, yes. Malik Jackson had a bad penalty. The jumping off sides. Like, come on, man. The missed tackling. Like, I know there's missed tackles around the league. I get that. But we're in week five. Your tackling should be better now. And these aren't missed tackles from an open field. You completely whiff on a guy. These are you're not wrapping up and bringing a guy to the ground missed tackles.
Right, just trying to hit him, hoping he goes
down. Yeah.
So, I mean, so I think that the question that I would have from that is how do you change it if they're not listening to the coach and they're being undisciplined, they're not tackling correctly? Like, I would look at you and say, like, what would Jim Johnson do with mistakes? The mistakes that we've seen from the Eagles, the mistakes that we've seen all season long, and it doesn't seem like they're being cleaned up.
It's a culture that, for us, was set from day one, his first year with us here. Jim Johnson held everybody accountable, and I mean accountable in front of each other. He held you accountable. And you make mistakes, you jump off sides, you're going to get called on the carpet for it. He's not going to be happy. You're walking to that sideline, you hear him on the way to the sideline when you've jumped off sides or you've completed some type of foolish penalty where it's a selfish penalty, something like a personal foul. What? A personal foul on an Andy Reid team? You're going to hear Big Red when you're coming to the sideline.
15 yards.
Exactly. Yeah. So, it to me, and I don't want to come off like the the old dude that
back
played. Yeah. But, quite frankly, these guys are too comfortable. We played walking on eggshells a little bit, meaning – not that we played in fear or scared to make a play, but we played with a healthy respect for constructive criticism that we knew was going to happen, especially on defense.
Yeah.
Like, we knew it. You knew in those meetings you were getting called out, except for Dalt. Like, you don't call out Brian Dawkins, right? Like, you know, the dog does something and –
well, you know, probably wasn't his fault, right?
Well, yeah. It's one of two things. Wasn't his fault. Tim Houck, you got to either cover. Damon Moore, you better be able to cover for him. Quentin Michael, you better be able to cover for him. Michael Lewis, you should have been on the same page with him. This is what he was thinking. Oh, that was my favorite statement. You know, Jim would give the – Brian, I knew what you were thinking on that play. I like what you were thinking on that play. And the rest of the defensive room is like, now, you know, he was just freelancing and did what he wanted to do on that play.
You're one of my favorite
students.
Listen,
yeah, granted, it worked a lot of the times, but then there were times where it was like, hold on, dog, aren't you supposed to be in the deep third? Like, why are you blitzing?
Well, you talk of
– I saw something.
That's all you need, right? He's a Hall of Famer.
That's all he needed to say was, I saw something.
But you talk about a lot where you knew that if you had a penalty or you had a bad play or two, you knew you weren't looking forward to coming in
what?
The next day.
It's the only, we could have won the game and I'm still thinking about that penalty or bad play.
Because
you're dreading it coming up in the film room, which is he's going to bring it up. By the way, Nick Saban was the same way. He wasn't even a defensive coordinator for us. He was the head coach. But he made sure he sat in on the defensive meetings after the game.
Detail.
Yeah, the Mondays after the game, yeah, he made sure because he wanted to break down the film.
And the other thing that you talk about is that you wanted to make sure that you weren't – so you're accountable to your coaches but also to your teammates because
you
don't want to be the guy that's allowing plays to happen.
Not me. That wasn't my fault. I was where I was supposed to be.
Can you play the Brandon Graham cut, Jack? Because Brandon Graham talked about there being some – like mistakes that are happening in practice, and pretty interesting that and Brandon's coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. Brandon Graham show. Do you have it? Here's Brandon Graham after the game.
What's been the overriding issue defensively this season? You saw the Rams, you know, put up a big number against you guys. The Steelers did the same thing today. Is it scheme? Is it personnel? What's been the issue?
Third down today. That's what I can just speak on just today. What I seen, we got to get off the ball. I mean, get off the field. And I think that, you know, just third down hurt us bad today, especially with the penalties. I didn't realize we had eight penalties, and, you know, it's just unacceptable. We got to make sure that we it starts in practice. And, you know, we know that some of the stuff that showed up in practice showed up out there in the game with the offsides and, you know, just little things that we can correct. And, you know, it's just that's what hurt us in the end.
What's he doing at practice? What's Jim Schwartz doing at practice if these mistakes are happening in practice? Now it's going. It's translating. It's going to the game.
Right. Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. Hell, I don't know.
What's Jim Johnson doing at practice if you guys are jumping all sides?
Man, listen. You saw the level of defense we played, John.
Yes.
Like that stuff doesn't happen just because you put a group of guys together. You know, the talent was there. They added to it. But it's the culture that's being set. It's the coaching that you're getting. And we got great coaching during that time under Jim Johnson. Ron Rivera, Tommy Brazier, Leslie Frazier, Steve Spagnuolo, Sean McDermott, John Harbaugh. Like, we had great – those were assistant coaches, by the way, under Jim Johnson, that either became head coaches somewhere else or very respected coaches at their positions in this league for a very long time. That's what it is, man. Whether it's the coaching shuffling that's going on with this team on the defensive side, so many new guys every year, or Jim Schwartz running a defense that is a loose defense from a standpoint of accountability. And I don't mean my bad. I mean real live accountability and having a standard being set. Like, I don't care if you won the game or not. If we gave up more than 17 points, you didn't want to have that defensive meeting with Jim Johnson that Monday. I don't care if we won the game. And that's why we went through a stretch of about 18 games. We didn't give up more than 21 points, more than 20 points. That was the standard. Points, third down conversion, red zone defense.
Not yards.
And I just don't think enough of that is going on. And remember, last year, I believe it was either before the Cowboys game or after the first Cowboys game. It might have been after the Minnesota game. It was that during that time. And Lane Johnson said something about guys not showing up to treatment or stuff like little stuff like that. Like, that's the stuff you got to have nipped in the bud, man. Like, these guys are comfortable down there.
Far too comfortable.
Won a Super Bowl, or everybody done got paid, and it's a comfortable atmosphere, and it's too comfortable. It's too comfortable. There's no reason a team with this type of talent should go through the struggles they've gone through the last 3 years.
Mm.
When you get inconsistent play, Brandon brought up 8 penalties. They only had 9. 8 of them was on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, it was bad.
There was some phantom ones though, like the face mask and the PI.
Listen. Here's the thing though, Fritzy. It happened on both sides. We benefited from the Chase Claypool offense in the past.
Yeah, that was a touchdown.
Right? So it happened on both sides, bad calls. And I get it. Frustrates me too. But man, when you get Pittsburgh did have 8 penalties themselves, so it was only 9-8.
Right.
I know it's when they occur that matters the most. But 8 penalties on defense? Man.
Yeah, that's rough.
That's a lot of penalties on one side of the football. You imagine if you had 8 penalties on offense?
No, but kill you. We'd kill the offense. We've seen games like that where it's just like you can't get anything going. You get a first down, then you get a false start, and 15. You get a holding penalty, second and 15.
And the crazy part is the offense is the one who's dealing with the most personnel changeover.
Yeah.
The familiarity with each other. Offensive linemen, receivers.
Offensive line was great yesterday.
Like
for the most part.
Hell, we're not getting illegal formations, guys lining up. You're not getting any of that on offense, but on defense, where everybody's been playing together all year, it's constant jumping off sides, missed tackles.
Yep. Brandon Graham Show, every Monday at 6 with me, Brandon Graham, Howard Eskin, and we won't be at Chickie's this year, so we're going to bring Chickie's to you on your way home. Grab some crab fries and wings from Chickie's, a 6-pack of Miller Lite, and listen to the show brought to you by Miller Lite and Chickies and Pete's, indoors and outdoors, socially distanced for the best in-game experience. Let's run some calls here. Ja'Cory in Florida. Ja'Cory, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys?
Ja'Cory?
J-Man.
Man, I usually don't, do more victories, but the offense was good. Carson looked well. I feel like Travis Fogle should be our number one wide receiver, depending on Alshon and Deshaun coming back. Hopefully, we get those guys back soon. But, the offense looked good. The defense, man, look. When Darius slid out of the game, I kind of thought it was over because, man, I, it's just, I, like he was
saying earlier, they went after Craig James the first play he got in the game.
Yep.
You know? That offensive kiosk saved us. But John Hightower, you got to get out of bounds on that last couple of plays going out to half. I feel like that I don't know what he was doing. But Wentz looked well. Fogle again looked nice. And do you think we should be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline coming in like next month?
It's later this month.
Good question. Good question, Ja'Cory.
Yeah.
How about this, though? I'm almost tempted. I don't want to be caught in the emotion of yesterday's game with the offense, but I'm tempted to look and see if there'd be some buyers for Jackson or Alshon.
I think you'd find some teams that have interest. It's not a long term commitment,
right?
With Deshaun or Alshon, I don't know if a team's going to want to pay. I don't know how it would
you
work.
Basically,
with
a half a year's salary left to go.
Yeah, I think Deshaun would be somebody that teams would be interested in.
I mean, it'd
in.
Be nice if they were actually playing because then their value would be higher. But now you would just be basically getting rid of them just to get rid of them.
Because
I don't know if you would get anything more than a fifth-round pick, although I would take a fifth-round pick.
Well, I mean, just look at it from this point of view. If you were a team that was kind of missing a big play wide receiver,
yeah,
Deshaun Jackson looks pretty nice right now.
Right. And I'm telling you, man, last week I was opposed to this, but you know what? Hey, it's my bar has already been lowered as it is. The division is still there available. We're going to get into that. But I know I was against this about a week or so ago. I'm not as much against it.
Well, you said last week.
I'm just playing the young guys the rest of the year.
You said last week if you saw more from the young guys that encouraged you, then you would feel differently, and you feel differently.
Listen, I didn't even expect to see that out of Fogum.
We know his name now.
Yes. Damn right.
He's earned it.
We know how to pronounce it. We know his first name.
No, he may have had I haven't checked everybody's numbers from yesterday. He may have had the best receiving day of anybody yesterday. Can you think anybody else that had a better receiving day?
4 yards.
Yeah, I mean, Hopkins had like 8-130, but not what Fulgham did.
Okay, this is 10-150 and a touchdown.
And Claypool only had 110 yards.
Yeah, with 7 catches, but he had 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about that.
215.
Well, we could say he had just as good of a day as Fogum, if not better.
Brandon Cooks had a buck 61.
That's right. He did.
8 for 161. Fogum number 2.
There you go. I knew he was up there.
There you go.
Wide receiver 1.
All right. 215-592-9494.
I mean, Travis Fogum, best receiver since T.O.?
No, best receiver since J-Mac or Deshaun the first time.
We don't have to worry about him making rap albums. He's showing up to Zoom calls with a sweater and a collared shirt on. You see that picture?
I did.
Somebody talking about he worked at State Farm.
He looked like Cliff. Cliff, what's his name? Paul.
Cliff Paul, yeah.
He did. Interesting guy. Old Dominion.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, could you imagine? He's getting released by teams. He's on practice squads. Then now he's got 10 for 152.
Somebody needed to take a picture of him at that Zoom call with that red shirt on and that collar. And in 2 years, when he's tatted up with jewelry hanging off of him, after he's gotten a new deal from the Eagles, we're gonna look back and be like, you remember what Travis Fogum used to look like?
Driving a $100,000 car. Coming up, it's Moral Victory Monday here in Philadelphia.
Antonio Brown was nice and quiet his rookie year.
Yeah, you didn't hear about him until the new contract and he became a star. I wasn't even home last night doing the postgame show here, and then I was literally like getting off the exit, and I saw notifications coming up on my phone about Dak Prescott, and it's like, well, what the hell happened? So he was obviously injured. I just didn't know exactly what happened. And then I pull up on my driveway, and then I see the video, which was out there right away. And it's like, wow, like that is one of those injuries that you see every so often. So we'll talk about Dak went down with a brutal injury. Our thoughts coming up next, because it does, at least for a lot of people, it changes the complexion of the division. So we got that coming up next. Mark Sinderis on 94.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds.
What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds?
Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs.
Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.